welcome to the Essential Tennis Podcast. If you love tennis and want to improve your game, this podcast is for you. Whether it's technique, strategy, equipment, or the mental game, tennis professional Ian Westerman is here to make you a better player. And now, here's Ian.
Hi, and welcome to the Essential Tennis Podcast, your place for free, expert tennis instruction that can truly help you improve your game. Thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate that you've taken the time to listen to this podcast, and I love that people are out there that are passionate about their tennis and really want to improve. They want to work hard. They just need that good information and instruction to point them in the right direction, and that's what I'm trying to accomplish here with the podcast and everything else at EssentialTennis.com. Well, today we're going to be discussing a huge topic, and that is the topic of strategy. Specifically, how do you win at tennis? We're going to talk about your strategizing in singles play specifically, and we're going to talk about how to set up your game and how to plan before, during, and after your matches so that you can be the most successful that you possibly can be. I want you guys to be as successful as possible, and certainly strategy has a large part in that equation. If you don't know how to strategize and use your skills effectively, you won't win as much as you possibly could. So without anything further, let's go ahead and get right to our topic for today. Sit back, relax, and get ready for some great tennis instruction.
And now it's time for the Essential Tennis Focus Topic of the Week.
All right. I hope you guys are strapped in and ready to go, because we're getting ready to tackle a huge topic here today, and something that's extremely vital and essential, you could say, to your being successful at tennis. It's this type of topic that reminds me that tennis is really hard. It's a tough sport. You guys have all chosen to try to excel at a sport and a physical thing that's extremely challenging. It's very difficult to be good at tennis in all of its aspects, and this is just another dimension of what it takes to be a successful tennis player. This topic has been brought up by a couple different listeners, actually. One is a new listener to the show, and her name is Orion. She lives in San Francisco, and I'm going to read you her message that she sent me. She said, "Thank you so much for this wonderful tennis tool. Your insight is a great help and very interesting. I'm a 26-year-old 3.0 to 3.5 player. I never played on a tennis team, nor have I been coached. I've had lessons, but most of my instruction has been self-taught. So my question is, how do you win? I belong to the tennis league at sanfranciscotennis.com. I'm 0-4 right now," meaning she's won no matches and lost four, but I am competitive in all of the points. However, I just can't seem to set up my points so that I win games and then sets. I feel like it's a psychological block. I lost a three-setter, 2-6, 7-6, 6-7. I had 5 match points and couldn't close it. Please help me learn what I need to do to visualize winning. Thank you, Orion." Well, Orion, that's an awesome question, and you said it best. How do I win? How do you know how to win? Is it kind of an instinct and something you're born with, or can it be learned? Well, if you don't automatically just know what to do, you obviously have to be conscious of it first. You need to learn what the steps are to becoming a good tennis competitor. I'm going to read you guys just a quick sentence or two here from Charles. He posted this on the forums, and he had a very similar question. He posted the topic as analyzing weaknesses, and he said in that post, "Although every opponent is different, how should one prepare a strategy to play an opponent once you see their game? I've noticed some people are inward looking. They feel their own game is good enough for anyone, and if they have a problem, it's because their game is not good enough. I tend to be outward looking. I look at what the opponent is doing and try to figure out what to do accordingly, though I am not always good at it. Anyway, strategy is often a secondary consideration, but I think creating a strategy to play an opponent can make it easier to focus on the match rather than focusing on one's own faults. Yes, Charles, I agree with you, and good observations there. Well, between Charles and Orion, I decided to go ahead and just make today's whole show about singles strategy. And this is a massive topic, and we're going to talk about several things here today that really could be a whole show in and of themselves, but I want to give you guys a good overall picture of what we're looking at here. So we're going to kind of go through some things quickly, and we'll stop and really fully discuss others, just to make sure that, in my opinion, you all fully understand what's most important when you go out there to play a match. Now, let me start this topic off by saying a lot of what we talk about on this podcast is how to hit the ball. We talk a lot about technique and being successful within a certain swing and how to complete a certain type of swing, like a topspin forehand, how to create topspin on your forehand. Now, when it comes time to play a match, the time is over to be thinking about how to make your swings and thinking about technique and how exactly you're moving the racket and moving your feet and positioning your body and all those things. Thinking about technique has no place in an actual tennis match. It's time to put those things away and focus all your attention on what's going on in the match and being successful from point to point and not from shot to shot and trying to analyze every little thing that's going on. How you use your strokes is your strategy by definition. So you're no longer thinking about how to complete your strokes. What you're focusing on is the end results or the purpose of your strokes. Where are you trying to hit? And for what reason are you trying to hit your shots in these specific places? Many people who work hard on their game get out into a competitive match and then simply continue to work on their strokes. And that's not the right thing to do. This takes them out of the match and their focus is on themselves instead of on their opponent. And that's exactly what Charles was describing in his post. That was very, it was actually a great observation by him. And that's actually an issue that I somewhat had myself when I played most of my competitive tennis in college. Anytime I would lose, I would blame myself fully. I should have made that shot. My technique is better than that. I shouldn't have made those mistakes. That's why I lost the match. Instead of focusing on using my shots productively and their end results, I was completely focused on the actual swing itself. And that's a dangerous thing to get into. So let's talk about exactly how to strategize correctly. Now that you guys know you're not supposed to be thinking about technique during your match, that needs to be put away, and you need to take whatever you happen to have that day, whatever your skills happen to be that day, that's what you have to use. And so you shouldn't be saying, well, if I can just do this on my backhand, it'll be great. No, you need to put that away, and I will tell you what you should be focusing on. We're going to break this up into three main segments here. We're going to talk about what you need to do before the match starts. There's certain things that you need to do to prepare before the match. We're going to talk about what you should be doing during the match in order to strategize. And we're going to talk about what to do after your match as well. So let's go ahead and start off with before the match. Before your match even starts, and these first couple here are things you should be doing before you even get to the court, or certainly before you step onto the court. Before the match starts, you need to know your strengths and your weaknesses. You need to know what are you good at right now. At this very moment, what are you bringing to the table that you're good at? What's your best stroke? What direction are you best hitting that stroke? Down the line or cross courts? Sharp angle, etc. Specific things. You need to understand what you're best at. might be footwork, might be a backhand slice, might be hitting deep in the court, might be a serve, whatever. You need to know what your strength is. You also need to know what you're not good at right now. You need to understand what your weaknesses are. Realistically, you should be charting these things out so that you know what your strengths are and your weaknesses. And again, I kind of mentioned this a second ago. This is not, if I can turn my shoulders and turn my grip correctly on my backhand, then I can have a good backhand today if I do those things right. No, forget about that. You're not going to have time to fix your backhand during the match. You need to go in with whatever you know you can complete competently and whatever you can complete consistently over and over again. You cannot be thinking about trying to fix a certain stroke as you play. Again, you need to be aware of these things before you even step out onto the court to play your match that day. Hopefully you are anyway. Hopefully you already have a good sense of what you're good at and what you're not good at as a player. And if not, you need to sit down and really think about it, you know, or next time you go out and practice, really pay attention to what you're doing well that day and what you're not so good at. Go ahead and ask one of your practice partners what they think their opinion is. You know, what do you think I really do best as a tennis player? Or what shot, when you hit it to me, you think to yourself, oh, great, I've got them now. You know, find out what they think your strengths and your weaknesses are. Secondly, before the match starts, you need to find out as much as you can about your opponent's strengths and weaknesses. Now, you can do this during the warm-up or even before the warm-up starts. If you're in a tournament and you find out that your opponent has another match before you play him or her, you can go and watch them play before you even have to face that opponent. And so you can get a good feel of what they're good at and what they're not good at before you even step on the court with them. If you don't have the luxury of doing that, you can still get a great idea of what they like and don't like just during the 10-minute warm-up. You can do this by during the warm-up when you're hitting ground strokes back and forth, hit a ball right down the middle of the court and see which side they turn to. Do they naturally try to hit forehands or do they naturally try to hit backhands? Which do they seem to prefer? Try to pay attention and see if they go out of the way to take a certain side. And not even just if you hit down the middle. If you hit, you know, 2-3 feet to their backhand side, will they still go over and hit a forehand? That's a huge key and something that you need to pick up on immediately and make a mental note of. Whichever side they prefer, you need to know that right away from the baseline. Other things you can look for during a warm-up, do they come up to the net and take volleys? At a 3.0 level, many times I've seen singles players not even take volleys and practice their net game. If they don't come up and take volleys at all, well, that's a great indicator right there that they're not comfortable there, that they're not even bothering warming up their volleys because they're not even planning on using them. So that's information that you can use later on in the match for sure. If they do go up and take volleys, do they ask you for overheads as well? This is something else I've seen personally in my own matches. People will come up and they do take volleys back and forth. However, they don't ever ask to get any overhead practice. And that's a pretty good indicator that they don't like their overhead. Or it just means that maybe they do like their overhead, but they haven't warmed it up. And that's still good information to know that they haven't hit any overheads yet. It's probably going to be a good play later in the match if they do come up to go ahead and lob them the first couple times and see if they can handle it because they haven't even practiced it yet. Other things that you can look for, if they don't avoid either side back on the baseline, if they seem to have pretty much an even take of forehands and backhands, they don't avoid either side, keep track and pay close attention of which side do they hit with more pace. Is their forehand or their backhand a stronger shot? Typically, a player is going to be more comfortable with one or the other, so pay close attention to which side they hit deeper with, which do they hit with more spin, which do they hit in the court most often or seem to have the most control with. Which do they hit out more often or into the net? And also you can look at things like, where do they miss when they do miss a backhand? Is it in the net or wide or long? These are things you need to pick up on. The more information you can gather in the warm-up, the more likely you're going to be able to put together a successful strategy against them. If you just go in guessing about what they're good at and what they're bad at, and if you're only thinking about yourself and your own strokes, you're just going to be just hitting the ball in play and hoping that they screw up. And we're going to get to that specifically in a couple minutes. Take a quick break here, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about what to do during the match to build your strategy and what to do after your match to continue your search for the best strategy possible for your game. Be right back after a couple seconds.
The Essential Tennis Podcast is brought to you by
Bridgewater Medical Group. Is a multi-specialty medical group located in Bridgewater, New Jersey, and is your home for primary care, gastroenterology, sports medicine, and general internal medicine. They offer a broad array of on-site, state-of-the-art services to make your healthcare experience more pleasurable. Scheduled appointments are preferred, but physician assistants are available for walk-in care. For more information, call Bridgewater Medical Group at 908-722-0808.
For more information on sponsors of the Essential Tennis Podcast or to become a sponsor, visit www.essentialtennis.com.
All right, let's get right back into the action here. So we've talked about why strategy is important and that you're not supposed to think about your strokes and you should be thinking about what's going on in the match instead. We've talked about how important it is to understand your strengths and weaknesses, and we've talked about how important it is to understand your opponent's strengths and weaknesses, and also how to figure them out. Now, during the match, while you're actually playing, there's several general strategies here that I'm going to talk about that you can use during your point play. And all of these can be talked about in great detail. I'm going to go through each of them in probably 2 or 3 minutes just to give you guys some kind of food for thought here, some ideas that you can hopefully use in your own point play, things to look for, and general strategies that you can implement in your own game. So during the match, use what you're strongest at as much as possible. And that's a strategy. That's part of your overall strategy, something you can implement. And we talked about running around your backhand to hit a forehand just a couple podcasts ago. And it's something that I think lower-level players should use more often. If your forehand is more comfortable than your backhand, and if it's a better shot, run around it. Run around your backhand and hit as many forehands as possible. Use what you're strongest at. You see the pros do this, and it's not just for the pros. It's just good strategy. If you're better at a certain shot, then you should be trying to hit that shot as much as possible so that you're using your most confident swing whenever you can. If your forehand is better than your backhand, you can run around your backhand. You can stand over to one side of the service box or the other so that you get more of that type of shot. If you're a right-handed player and your forehand is better on the ad side of the court when you're getting ready to return serve, move over to your left. Leave more of the box open on your forehand side. Now, you might say, well, then aren't you leaving yourself vulnerable to be aced? Well, go ahead and challenge your opponent. Say, all right, listen, we both know I'm standing over to the left. Let's see if you can hit it. If their serve's not great, you're just going to end up pressuring them more. They'll know that's available. They might go for it and miss. Even if they do hit it once or twice, keep on challenging them. It kind of dangle it there in front of them. Say, hey, listen, I'm going to leave this open. I bet you can't hit it. Now, if they hit that corner 4 times in a row and ace you or hit a service winner, well, then you need to respect that and shift back. But at a 3.0 up to probably a strong 4.0 level, people don't have big serves. And this is going to pressure the server more than it's going to put you out of position. So go ahead and just shift over. Take more forehands in your return of serve. more on using what you're strongest at. If your net game is good, serve and volley. Get to the net. If your net game is strong, use that as much as you can. Serve and volley or chip and charge. Come in right off of your return of serve and let them know you're coming. Every time that you get a second serve, if they have a weak second serve, chip and charge. You just come right in off of the return of serve and make them know you're coming. Come in every time and pressure them. We're trying to make them uncomfortable. So those are some ideas there to use what you're strongest at. And, you know, if you're not great at something, then don't go out of your way to do it. If you're not good at the net, then I wouldn't say that coming right in off the return would necessarily be a good overall strategy. You need to be smart about what you know you're good at. Don't lie to yourself and say, oh, I can hit good volleys. Well, you need to know for sure that you're able to do it in a pressure situation. So that's using what you're strongest at as much as possible. There's unlimited, different variations of that depending on what you happen to be good at. Secondly, hit to their weakness as much as possible. Your job as a good singles player is to make your opponent as uncomfortable and off balance as possible. As much as you can, match up your strength to their weakness. So if your forehand is in fact better, then run around your backhand and hit cross court inside out back to their backhand side if that's their weakness. If you can match up your strength, your forehand, to their weakness, their backhand, you're well on your way to pressuring them and making them feel very uncomfortable and putting them in a spot where they don't want to be. That's where they're going to make mistakes and you're going to win points. And if you find a matchup like that, if you find that your forehand is strong, stronger than your backhand, and if you're running around it and you find a certain corner, okay, if I just hit to that side of the court and make them hit this stroke, they don't like it. Once you find that, exploit it as much as possible. Keep going to the well until they figure out a way to get out of that position and counter it. If they can't counter it, then you keep doing it again and again until you win the match. There's no excuse for noticing patterns and not exploiting them to your advantage. You need to match up what you're good at to their weakness as much as you can. If you haven't been paying attention to them in their game, you'll end up just hitting the ball and hoping they screw up. I mentioned this a couple of minutes ago. If you weren't paying attention in the warm-up and you don't know which side they're more comfortable with, you can go through all the effort and trouble of running around your backhand and end up just hitting a forehand and not even having any purpose behind it and hoping that you just end up winning the point, even though you have no idea what they even prefer. So this is why it's so important to pay attention to what's going on in the warm-up so that you can put yourself in that position where you get your favorite shot and then do something with it that they don't like. Your strategy is to do what they don't like over and over and over. All right, next up, two more things here as far as what to do during the match. Understand patterns of play in singles. For example, cross court is the highest percentage shot in singles, period. The net is lowest in the middle. When you hit across the middle of the court over to the other side, you cross the lowest part of the net. It's 3 feet in the middle and 3.5 feet at the net post. That's a big difference. The court is longer. From corner to corner cross court, the court is a full 4 feet longer than if you were to go down the line. So understand those things and use them to your advantage. Angles make your opponent move more and work harder. And this goes back to hitting cross court. If you can continually hit cross court and make them hit down the line, you will have the upper hand. And I did a whole podcast segment on just this. I'm sorry, I don't remember which podcast it was. I'll have to go back and look at that for you guys. But at any rate, people put whole strategies just around that thought itself, that cross court makes your opponent work harder than down the line. When you hit at an angle, they have to move more to get to the ball. If they hit cross court to counter that shot, if they hit down the line to counter your cross court shot, if you hit cross court again, then they're back on the run again. That pattern alone can be used to win matches in singles. Lastly, as far as what to do during a match, understand that the majority of points will end in an error in tennis. And this is, you know, this is true over most matches in tennis, all the way up through professional level tennis. The vast majority of points will end with somebody just screwing up and missing. So it's important that you understand this so that you will play the percentages, play smart tennis, play what you're best at, and play patterns that you know will give you greater chance for success. So during the match, use what you're strongest at, hit to their weakness, understand patterns of play in singles, and understand that most points will end in an error. And so play smart tennis. But by doing all the first three things, you're most likely to do the last one, the fourth one. If you play your strongest shot and hit to their weakest shot, and you play the patterns and the high percentage shots, you're giving yourself the highest percentage chance of being the person who doesn't screw up. And all of these principles that I'm outlining are things you need to do and be aware of during your point play so that you give yourself the highest possible chance of winning your points. Okay, now, after the match, we've talked about what to do before the match, what to do during the match, and now we're going to talk about what to do after the match. Whether you've won or lost your match, it's very important that you ask yourself the question, why? Why did you win and why did you lose, no matter which one it is? Myself and Ed Sain in podcast number 35 discussed this briefly. It surprises me to no end when people come off the court or a day or two later. A student will come back to me, and I know that they played a match a couple days before, and I'll say, how did you play? And they say, well, not bad. I lost, this score and that score. And I'll ask them, why? Why did you lose? And they won't have an answer for me. They'll say, I don't know. I just didn't play well. Well, that's not good enough. Just saying you didn't play well is not good enough. You need to be specific. You need to sit down and figure out why you lost. And it might only come down to one or two things, but you should have specific reasons why you lost. It might be they got the ball to my backhand more often than I got it to their backhand. And so they exploited my weakness, and I wasn't able to counter that. That could be a reason why you lost. If they were smart enough to play that pattern, if they were smart enough to play that side of the court to you often enough to win, well, then they deserve to win. And so you need to come back and figure out a way to hit more forehands instead, or preferably, in my opinion, learn how to improve your backhand so that it's not as much of a liability next time. So if you lost, you need to know what to improve on. And that's the value in losing and the value in competition. Don't think that a loss means that you wasted your time. On the contrary, losing oftentimes is more valuable than winning, because you get to learn about what you need to improve on in order to make yourself, give yourself a greater chance of winning the next time. If you won, you also need to know why you won so that you know what to do again next time. Don't just walk off the court all happy and giddy and say, oh, yeah, I won my match. Yay. I'm happy. And not even think about it. You need to be serious about it and take some notes on it. I strongly recommend that you guys keep a journal in your tennis bag and take notes during the match and definitely after the match. If you're losing during the match, use all your changeover time that you have during an odd numbered game when you get changeover time, and write a couple thoughts down. Write down what you feel you're doing really well, and if things aren't going so well, write down what you think you're doing poorly. And afterwards, when you go to the practice court, you'll know exactly what you need to work on, and you won't waste your time just hitting the ball back and forth without any kind of focus. You'll have a game plan, and you'll have, all right, in my last match, I did this and this well, so that's great. I know I can use that strategy next time that I play a match, and I did this, this, and this not very well. Okay, so now I'm going to come out and practice tomorrow, and I'm going to work on those three things. What skills can I improve on so that those three things don't hinder my performance next time? And if you don't know how to improve those things, well, that's why I'm here. I'm here to tell you guys what you need to do to improve on specific skills. But if you don't do your job of being aware of what's going on in the first place, if you don't do your homework and pay attention while you're playing your match, you won't even know why you lost in the first place. So it's important to keep a journal. That would be excellent. And you guys would make me happy if you would do that. It's something very few players do, and the ones that do are typically the most successful. All right. Well, that does it for the Essential Tennis Podcast, episode number 37. I hope you guys enjoyed that show. And you guys can start to see here, this is just a huge topic, just the general topic of strategy. There's so many things that go into it. There's so many different ways to win. That's kind of a positive way to look at it. Out of all of that information I just threw at you guys, think about how many different ways you could find out to win a match if you just pay attention and you know your own strengths and you can figure out your opponent's weaknesses. The possibilities are really endless. But Orion and also Charles, get back to me. Let me know if that answers your question. Hopefully it wasn't too convoluted and complicated. And I gave you guys some practical things that you can really use in your own game. All right, well, that does it for today's show. Again, thank you so much for joining me. And I look forward to joining you all again next week on Monday for the next episode of Essential Tennis Podcast. Take care, everybody, and good luck with your tennis.